Hello, my name is Ed Frawley. My wife and I own Learburg. Today I'm going to go through some questions and answers. I'll do it one at a time, one video at a time, because I've got some good ones here. I haven't done them in a few weeks on the Q&As. I've done other videos. And I think that you'll like it. And before I do these, I always tell people, you do not have to be a customer of Learburg to send in a question on dog training or your dog's health or environmental problems. Go to the front page of Learburg.com and scroll down to Ask Cindy. Cindy's my wife, and she answers questions every single day. I think we're the only website on the internet that answers questions every single day. But this one is kind of an impossible solution. There's not a solution for it, I think, but it's probably pretty common. In fact, it's common with Becca, one of my video editors, and her significant other, Andy, trying to get Andy consistent in how they handle and work with their dog. And this is kind of an extreme case, but I'm going to read it because I think it's common and I think people are going to recognize it if they have it going in their house. It says, "Hello, Cindy. We have four dogs. My partner is very loving with them, but he doesn't share my view that training and consistent rules are essential." And that's the theme of the whole question. "I've been only able to do minimal training with the dogs as I have a health complication and I've been in a wheelchair and I'm having to relearn how to walk. I feel like the last 2 years of my inability to be more involved has let the dogs feel like there are no hard and fast rules." And I'm sure as you go through, you're going to agree with this. "The rules I did have for the dogs, such as no rushing out the door, no jumping up on people, have been ignored by my partner and our two teenage children. The teens follow the door rules about 50% of the time." And I'm sorry, but "one teen and my partner lets the 75-pound dog jump up on them for affection, though they get mad at the other 75-pound dog for doing this. I'm getting better and am more involved with the dogs, but I would really appreciate an outside view on how likely it is for the dogs to learn to be obedient if only one family member holds them to the rules. In this scenario, what should I set my expectations for on my dogs?" I really sympathize with this person because she really wants to do the right thing. She obviously loves her dogs, but what she wants, in my opinion, is impossible. But we're going to talk about it and maybe give her some ideas to try with her family. And Cindy came back and said, "If everyone in the household is not consistent with the dogs, then it's very difficult and often impossible to expect them to behave in a specific way. This, of course, can be dog dependent, and some dogs are willing to follow rules with anyone that knows what the right verbal command is." And that's a good point. We have four dogs in our house. Some of them follow the rules all the time, and some of them need to be reminded. "And others need to have rules established with each individual person." And by that she means, some dogs will sit no matter who asks them to sit. Other dogs will only sit if a person has spent time to teach that dog that when he says sit, you have to sit. So Cindy goes on here. She says, "We have four dogs in our home. They'll listen to me and they'll listen to Ed, but I'm the most consistent. Sometimes he's not." Oh, Cindy, how could you say that? "Whether they respond to anyone else in the family is a hit or miss thing. Have you tried having a family discussion about why it's important for the dogs to have general rules for behavior, example, at the door? My dogs all have a verbal cue. I use a word that isn't common in normal conversations. That means you're free to go and do what you want it to do. In other words, it's a release command. And that command can be used at the door, or it can be used when people come in the house. If you think it's okay for the dog to go up and jump on somebody, I don't think I'd think that's a good idea. So Megan's reply, I've been injured a couple of times from the larger dog jumping on me, but my partner hates being the bad guy and isn't patient enough to even enforce the dog sitting. They will not do it immediately for him. We've discussed this as a family, but my partner either forgets or gets frustrated and won't insist on the rules, and the teens will often follow suit. I know, I really feel for this lady. I wish we had a hard and fast solution to it, but I'm gonna go on because I think this happens a lot. I don't know if I can eventually change that. From my wheelchair, I taught the dogs to sit and wait till I release them to go out and play. I use a joint verbal cue and a physical signal. They will do it for me, and when I remind the teens, they will make the dog do it, but the youngest dog is more dominant and undisciplined. It will actively run from people to avoid doing what it's been told to do, and they often give in to it. I've also taught the dogs many tricks. They're intelligent dogs. The youngest dog is 20 pounds, but extremely aggressive with the other dogs and with people. I've taken him solo to training lessons at the local Petco for over a year, and while he's less aggressive, I still can't take him out for a walk within 20 feet of another person or an animal without him aggressively barking and sometimes lunging, unless it's in Petco where he just barks. So that's pretty common too. Don't get me wrong, Petco tries. They unfortunately have a lot to learn about dog training. The people that work there are nice people, but they're not good dog trainers. If they are good dog trainers, Petco will not allow in their training programs people to use any kind of aversive. And that's a huge mistake because it's never going to work with dogs like this. So anyway, we're going to go back and I'm going to repeat this. I still can't take him for a walk within 20 feet of another person or animal without him aggressively barking, sometimes lunging and trying to bite, unless it's inside Petco. He also tends to try and prevent anyone in the family from being affectionate with another dog. Given his difficulty, I focus mostly on working with him. The Petco trainer refers to him affectionately as the white devil. The white devil. And I'm very worried about how to start taking back control over the household of our dogs when I'm doing it mostly on my own. I've grown up with dogs, and it was always very easy to train him. I started at 10, but I've always had the rest of the family to back me up. And when I did so, it was seamless. I'm at a loss how to handle this situation, hence the Petco training. There isn't any tricks I can't teach my dogs on my own, but I wanted to enforce socialization in a safe scenario. Well, I'll stop right there, and I'll just talk about the last sentence before we go on to what Cindy was talking about. Socialization doesn't necessarily mean that your dog can go up and be petted by anybody. Socialization for us means that we want to be able to take our dog into any environment and have the dog feel comfortable being with us. We never, ever expect our dogs to be social with strangers. Our dogs may be social with strangers unless we know them, unless we know that the people we're going to allow our dogs to interact with think like us about dog training, we don't let it happen. We'll tell people, please, don't touch my dog. And I have enough friends. I don't need any more friends. And if that upsets somebody, tough. Anyway, so let's go on to Cindy's reply. We have a course on how we manage dogs in our home. I'm not sure how helpful this will be in your situation, not if everybody is not going to listen and be on the same page. And that's the truth here. What your youngest dog is showing is reactivity. And we do have a very good course on working with reactive dogs, dominant and aggressive dogs. Unfortunately, places like Petco typically don't have that kind of staff that help with this very common issue. And that's absolutely the truth about Petco. Cindy goes on and says, to work on it, the dog needs to learn about how to redirect their focus back on you, the handler, in the face of other distractions. And what we're talking about here is we want our dogs to learn that when they get into an environment where there's something there that may be a concern to them, they learn they should redirect themselves back on you, and you're going to focus on them. You can give them rewards, you can pet them, you can engage with them. That's your goal. And you start with minor, small distractions and build and build and build up to the point where you may go to a dog park. We are no fan of dog parks by any stretch of the imagination, but there's a use for dog parks, and it's when there's dogs in the park and you're not. And you can do training outside of a dog park and use all those dogs running around and barking as a high-level distraction. You would never take this dog and do it in the first place. You might not take this dog and take him to the dog park and work outside the dog park for 6 months, maybe not a year. And the dog may never be able to do it. You just need to realize that. And the other thing, if you don't get your other people in your family involved, there's really no hope. I'm sorry. You can try it. You can beg, steal, threaten, but you've got to get them to come on board. Even with Becca and Andy, Becca that works here, Andy thinks she doesn't know what she's talking about. Becca's a pretty good dog trainer. She needs to learn how to train Andy, what dog training is all about. So this is a good one. I wish I had, yeah, this will work. No, that's not going to work. The only thing she's going to be able to do is to get that dog, all four of those dogs, to mind for her. For all the others that are in the family, there might not be any hope for them.